This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I am your host for this weekend show, also your host throughout the week. Be sure to check out our website, kereport.com, for daily market interviews and a lot of exclusive company updates and introductions. It's been a busy week again, and you know what? I am excited for this show. I am kicking off this show with Peter Buchvar, Chief Investment Officer at Bleakley Advisors Group, also editor of The Book Report. That's a website that I go to every day, and I have periodically posted some of the excerpts of what Peter has been writing and sharing with his subscribers. Peter, I want to start off with the inflation discussion. You had something that came out earlier this week that I found very interesting. It was highlighting former New York Fed President Bill Dudley, his opinion piece on Bloomberg, where he gave five reasons to be worried about the risk of an unpleasant surprise in inflation. Look, we have inflation expectations rising, but we're not seeing a whole lot of the underlying inflation data show that inflation right now, at least. Where do you stand on the inflation narrative, the inflation argument, and the lack of strong inflation that we're seeing right now?
Well, it depends on where you're looking in with respect to this inflation discussion. If you look at home prices in the U.S., they're rising nearly 10%. So that's pretty aggressive home price inflation. But because U.S. CPI and PCE measure rents instead of home prices, that is not really captured in the CPI number. Now, I do think at some point it will, and that you continue to see those aggressive home price increases, you'll see a sharp rise in rent increases, particularly when the moratoriums on evictions and rent payments go away within the next couple months. That combined with more transfer payments from the government to individuals, you'll start to see rents go up. If you look at the good side, and I talk about rents because it's 30% of core CPI, so it's a big swing factor on where the headline inflation number goes. Now, on the good side, we're seeing year-over-year price increases on goods, core goods, export and energy, that's rising at the quickest pace since April 2012. So you're approaching a 9-year high at the pace at which core goods prices are rising. And that is in response to the major supply disruptions that we continue to see, a spike in transportation costs where everything that is produced ends up on a ship, a truck, a plane, and we're seeing prices rise pretty aggressively there. And also the change in consumer spending behavior where in 2020 people spent a lot of money on goods, depleted inventories because factories were closed for a few months. And then hopefully this summer we're going to get a shift to services as people start to go for dinner more and travel and go to hotels and fly and this and that on the services side that then possibly takes away some of the pressure on the good side but then can create inflation on the services side. So I think in the aggregate, the pressures are building. We certainly are seeing that in terms of the expectations of investors with the rise in inflation expectations in the TIPS market, which is at multi-year highs. And you have to go back to, I think, 2013 to see the last time you've seen at least the five-year inflation break-even in the U.S. This high at around 233. And back then, oil prices were around $100 versus 58 today. So, you know, just imagine if you did get higher oil prices, and maybe this also implies market expectations that inflation is potentially a broader risk than it was even then.
So I agree that just looking at the data is a bit misleading when it comes to what individuals are dealing with inflation-wise, but we do need to consider, too, that it seems like over the last decade, a little bit more than a decade now, is that the whole inflation narrative when it comes to the data has a bit been muddied or turned on its head, really, when you balance that out with, let's say, market inflation, and that continues to happen as markets just continue to move higher. How do you balance those two out?
Well, right now the market's moving higher because of just massive momentum, the hopes for another $2 trillion in government spending, the belief that the vaccine is going to save the world's economy in the next 3 to 6 months as it gets further rolled out, which I get. I think there's a lot to be optimistic for in the services side, particularly this summer, because I think getting the vaccine is going to be life-changing. Now, it'll take time depending on where in the world you live, but at least in the U.S., there is the possibility that by the summer there is some form of herd immunity, and I think that it's important to have some optimism. The issue, though, is I think that, again, it's going to come with higher inflation. It's going to come with higher long-term interest rates. We have not only a central bank that is rooting for higher inflation, but one that is also saying that they are looking past any rise in inflation, at least over the next couple months, because they'll refer to it as transitory. Now, there will be base effects that help inflation because the comparisons are obviously very easy compared to March, April of last year. But once you get into the second half, and I believe the inflation statistics are not going to be so transitory and that they will be somewhat longer lasting than at least the Fed thinks, I think that the long end of the bond market's going to tighten for them. And that's going to translate into a potential issue for equity markets that have very high valuations and predicated on very low rates.
So let's address the long end of the market, because even as the Fed has been really just standing still, the long end continues to rise. As you and I are recording this, the 10-year is over 1.16%. I know this is still historically low, but fact of the matter is the trend has been higher. When is that going to matter for markets, and when's that going to matter for the Fed?
I mean, I think the Fed right now doesn't mind it. They don't mind to see some steepening of the curve. I think for the rest of the markets, particularly the stock market, it's a great question of when it will matter, and that's really just, it's the magic question, and I think that you're really not going to know until you see it. But the trajectory of rates is clear. It's been pretty steady. I mean, we just, end of August, we're actually middle of August, we've just about doubled since then. Now, again, as you said, rates are still historically low, but we have to understand that a couple of things. We have massive amounts of debt, so small changes in interest rates has a pronounced effect. We have historically high duration levels in bonds. Corporate bond duration level is averaging almost 8.5 years, which is well above where it's been. So changes in longer-term interest rates has profound impacts on the pricing of longer-term bonds, which, if it's sustained, can then raise the cost of capital and impact valuations as well. So it's something that we need to keep a very close eye on here.
All right, Peter, we're out of time for this segment on the radio stations, but as I mentioned, I am having you back on next segment. There is a lot to take in here with what's driving these markets, and quite frankly, almost the numbness that these markets are giving investors as everything continues to move higher. Just as a note for everyone listening on the radio, be sure to visit our website, kereport.com, and click on the weekend show posting, because due to time constrictions on the radio, I do have longer segments that are posted on our website for the weekend show. So while you do get most of the highlights by listening on the radio, you can get the full interview by coming to our website and clicking on that weekend show posting. As I mentioned, Peter will be back on next segment, so everybody stick around. I will be right back with Peter Bukvar, and we will continue this broad discussion on just how heated these markets are.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. KEYReport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. Here's just one example of what you can get with a free subscription from Avid Market Highlights Report. With gold prices hitting new highs in 2020, investors are just beginning to push into junior gold miner stocks. And we want to send you research that can position you to win with this red-hot gold stock opportunity in the market. Text WIN to 48542 for more info on gold miner investment opportunities now with your free subscription to Market Highlights Report. Text the word WIN to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the winningest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word WIN to 48542. Text WIN to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text WIN to 48542.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to chat with Peter Bogvar, Chief Investment Officer at Bleakley Advisory Group, also editor of the book Report. Now, Peter, staying focused on the markets, I feel like it was 5 years ago that we were hearing some of the pundits saying that we're in an everything bubble when it comes to the equity markets. These days, I think that's even more relevant as we see a wide range of sectors continue to move higher, strongly higher, on the back of nice volume, strong breadth. Across the board, we're seeing a lot of sectors break out. Are we at that stage now where we do have an everything bubble?
Well, we do, but you could have said that a few years ago as well. And then the reason why we do is because, you know, the world's bond markets, particularly negative yielding bonds, which is the epitome of a bubble, it's the biggest bubble in the history of financial markets. So all these other assets are priced off the cost of money. So yeah, it is an everything bubble, just almost by definition, if the cost of credit is so low and the bond market that prices it is in such a bubble. But bubbles can continue, and the question is when it doesn't matter, and I don't know. But I do know that what will make it matter will be the direction of inflation and longer term rates, because when inflation is low, central bankers feel like they have a license to do whatever they want. When inflation all of a sudden is not so low, well, then that license, the market potentially can take away that license. So we have in motion right now the possibility of seeing the pin that will eventually pop the bubble. But again, we don't know when it will, but inflation numbers are ticking higher. Inflation expectations are moving higher. Commodity prices are moving sharply higher. The CRB Raw Industrials Index is at the highest level since 2014. So it's not an opinion on certain parts of inflation. At least on the good side, it's fact that there's inflation. Yeah, I'm looking at a chart right now. Raw Industrials Index is at the highest level since May 2014. That was a while ago. So it's here, but it's just a matter of how widespread it gets and what the impact is going to be on longer-term interest rates.
Okay, so it really is all about rates right now and inflation and eventually how the Fed will react to it. Can I just get your quick comment, too, on a story that we were covering a couple weeks ago on all these short squeezes and how the retail investor was able to push around some of these hedge funds and stocks like GameStop? They even arguably came into silver, but it was such a bigger market that it didn't have the same impact on silver. What was your takeaway from the short squeeze narrative that took hold really at the tail end of January?
I feel like I've seen this and read about these things many times. There's a history of manias in markets, whether it's tulips, whether it's the South Sea Company, whether it's iOmega. We've had a history of bubbles, a history of short squeezes, and this was nothing new. It just took on a little bit different form. The avenue of communication was just a bit different, but the underlying human nature part of it is still the same. It's people that want to get rich quick, and nothing more. And it really came back to earth like every other mania like that. This is, I guess you can call this the Reddit mania, but it's a movie that I've seen, and as I said, I've read about many times in history. And for those that want to learn more about these sort of things, they should read Charles Kindleberger's book, Manias, Panics, and Crashes.
Okay. Hey, good advice there, Peter. Let's also now move on to commodities, because you made the reference that commodities are also moving higher, except for, let's say, precious metals. We're seeing base metals continue to break out, energy commodities moving higher, green commodities moving higher. Where are you focused when it comes to individual commodity sectors?
Well, the interesting thing is we're seeing all commodities, pretty much all commodities, so it's a broad-based rally. We're seeing it in the grains, corn, wheat, and soybeans, notwithstanding a little pullback here in corn the last couple of days. We're seeing it in industrial metals, particularly copper. Certainly seeing it in natural gas, which is around $3. We're seeing it in oil, which is approaching $60, and WTI. So we've obviously seen it in gold and silver and the precious metals, even though they've been seeing some consolidation since the August spike. So it is broad-based, and that's reflected in the CRB index, which has had a nice move here. And I do think that we're on the cusp of further gains. I mean, we've had years of underinvestment. We've had everyone focused on technology and not really investing in this space. You don't hear anything about a copper SPAC or an oil and gas SPAC because no one cares. And I think that that's going to lead to further supply-demand imbalances that are going to lead to higher commodity prices and higher inflationary pressures as a result.
Well, and that does tie into the inflationary pressures as well. What about this general weakness, about 7 months of weakness for the precious metals, especially gold? Just continuing this downtrend, might have put in a arguably double bottom here in the last couple of weeks, but overall, gold has faded a fair bit from those highs back in August.
I think that we've seen a consolidation since that time period. We definitely saw a big spike where gold went from about 1,400 up to 2,000, and silver went from like 17 to almost 30. And I do think that with the dollar somewhat stabilizing here, even though I think it's temporary, it's still stabilizing, and real rates that are sort of, you know, pretty much at the lows but have stopped going down, I think was reason to see this consolidation. The question then is, when does the consolidation stop and the run start again? And I'm not sure the answer to that, but I do think if you see another leg down in the dollar, which I expect, and if these inflation numbers tick higher further, you'll get another leg down in real rates. And that will be the next sort of juice for another run in gold and silver.
All right. Yeah, just waiting for that next driver. Let me ask you about this government stimulus bill too, Peter, because it seems like every government stimulus bill out of the U.S. does get delayed, but they have been passing in the eventual time frame. What do you think about this current government stimulus bill as it seems to be getting pushed through in terms of what sectors or how it impacts the broad averages?
It'll happen, and most of that money is going to get spent. So almost $2 trillion on top of the $900 billion that was passed at the end of December. Extraordinary amounts of money. But a lot of it is just filling holes at the state and local government level, filling holes and allowing people to pay their back rent as moratorium and eviction rules expire soon, paying for the vaccine. So I don't look at this as stimulus. It's more just more fiscal spending and filling holes. And at the end of the day, we're not going to have anything to show for. It's not like we're going to have new bridges and new bouts of infrastructure that follow. We're just going to have a lot of debt, large budget deficits, and greater inflationary expectations where inflation could eat away whatever check is issued to individuals and families.
All right, Peter, it's great having you on the show, buddy. Again, you can check out Peter's daily thoughts over at his website, The Book Report. I will post a link in the weekend show posting. It's great having you on the show, Peter. I really value your opinion, and I really thank you for taking some time out of your weekend. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Corey. You too.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
U.S.
USA Radio News.
Former President Trump's defense team referring to him as the victim of a politically motivated witch hunt. Trump lawyer Michael Vandeveen telling the Senate yesterday during the impeachment trial that Democrats are motivated by their political hatred of Trump. The trial resumes today, but Republican Senator Ted Cruz telling Fox News this week, we already know the outcome.
The end result of this trial is obvious to every single person in the room. President Trump is going to be acquitted. In order for President Trump to be convicted, it takes 67 votes. There is no chance whatsoever there will be 67 votes to convict him. All 100 senators know that. The House managers know that. Everyone in the room knows that.
Witnesses could be called today. If not, then both sides would proceed with closing arguments. A moment of bipartisanship after Friday's impeachment process, Capitol Police Officer Eugene Goodman awarded the Congressional Gold Medal for leading protesters away from the Senate chambers the day of the riot last month. Goodman honored by the Senate with a standing ovation. This is USA Radio News. Schools across the country getting what the CDC calls a long-needed roadmap on how to safely reopen. The CDC yesterday advising schools to follow a color-coded chart to know how much to reopen. The chart ranges from blue for low transmission rates to yellow, orange, and then red for the highest rates of transmissions. Dr. Bob Lahida is professor of medicine at New York Medical College, and he tells CBS News these guidelines are good for everyone.
These color codes are very logical, and people relate to colors. They understand if they're in a red zone, that this is an area where virtual learning is probably a better idea than coming to school. Also good for the teachers who have been very, very uncomfortable getting back to the classroom.
President Biden says the guidelines followed the best available scientific evidence on reopening schools. CNN, though, reporting that 99% of children currently live in red zones where schools would remain closed or offer hybrid learning under the guidelines. The report also finds less than 100,000 children live in areas where schools could fully reopen under the guidelines. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100 the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with Mark Chandler. He's managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex. Also writes the Mark to Market blog. Now, Mark, you and I chat every week on Friday, usually looking ahead to the next week's key catalysts and also reviewing what happened in the past week, following up on some of those news events and key catalysts. However, you know what? This week was a little bit slow, and next week there isn't a whole lot to discuss. So one thing that you and I were talking about really deals with a theme heading into this year. Everyone's talking about inflation. They continue to talk about inflation, but some other rumors that I'm hearing, and even hearing you bring this up, makes it a little bit more real for me. That is the potential of a commodity super cycle. We might be at the early stage of this commodity super cycle, as we are seeing commodities almost across the board continue to rally. We've seen some weakness in the precious metals, but you look at base metals, you look at energy metals, you look at oil, everything else does seem to be moving strongly higher. Mark, give us a little rundown of where you think or the potential of this commodity super cycle.
Yes, I think that there's two components of it. One is, like you say, right now you've got, look at oil prices in the U.S., the March crude is finished last week pretty close to $60 a barrel, highest. I mean, remember last April we were at negative. But anyway, so the idea is that a combination of some supply discussions, like OPEC cutting oil, or the Saudis announcing that they were unilaterally going to cut 1 million barrels of oil this month and next month. You've got some other like issues like that with supply. The U.S. inventories now are near the 5-year average. But the real part of it, I think, for a lot of people is going to come from demand. You know, between this end of December package the U.S. had of $900 billion and this other one that they're working on, we're talking about 10% of GDP. And a lot of the idea is that I think two other branches come from that. One is a strong economy. That's going to fuel demands for goods and services. And those goods prices, those raw materials will be driven up as demand jumps. But the other part of it is the from sort of the financial side of it. So you get this what's happening. How do we fund this huge stimulus? More debt. And people, I think, at some point say, well, we don't want debt. We want hard assets. We want real assets. And the other issue sort of stems from this, for the commodities. And I think that this is so we've got stock markets near record highs, not only in the U.S., but the Japanese market made it's at its highest level since 1991. And so I think people are seeing rising equity markets without really improving profits. And there's about $16 trillion of negative yielding bonds in the world. And so people, I think, are looking for other assets. I think that's part of the appeal, they think, to the crypto space. But here's what I think happens is that we want them to diversify our finance, our assets, our investments away from just paper assets. And I think that draws people to commodities. Right now, there's about, I think that the commodity, investable commodity market is about $200 billion or so. And I think it was Goldman at a conference I was at was saying that it could go up to $5 trillion, they think, in the coming years, as commodities, just like early in my career, emerging markets were not really part of people's equity portfolios. Now it's almost a permanent part of many of a diversified portfolio. And the idea is that going forward, given the debasement of paper assets, or the abundance of paper assets, if you will, that people are going to want to buy claims on real assets, commodities.
So that's a big change from what we've seen in markets, especially over this last bull market cycle, over a decade now. We've seen, it seems like, the individuals, fund managers, everybody, in a way, largely ignore commodities and simply put their money into these paper assets. You all see this changing right now. But what is spurring this change? Is it simply because markets are so high and commodities broadly haven't had their time to shine?
I think that's part of it, but I think there's another element here. When I was back in the, this must have been early 90s, we were having the S&L crisis, or a banking crisis problem in the U.S., and I remember having lunch with this famous economist at the time, Albert Wojenauer, and he was asking me, I was very early in my career, of course, and he was asking me about what like investment ideas and stuff, and I told him how much I liked gold. And he tells me, oh, interesting idea. He says, what kind of gold were you buying? And I said, well, I was looking at this one gold company. And he said to me, you're young. So he said, he'll forgive me. But all I was talking about doing, really, he said, was buying a paper claim on a gold company. I wasn't really talking about buying gold. And what this has to do with our discussion now is that up until now, people, for the most part, these portfolios, large pools of capital, have only had access to paper claims on commodities. But I think there's an effort now to, like, securitize commodities. So that, imagine, rather than just having a paper claim on a silo full of corn, you'll have a digital, it won't be a paper asset, it'll be a digital claim. You can say, here's my corn. You own that, or you own a share of that, and you've got, say, a blockchain or something similar to that to keep, like, the chain of custody, if you will. So what we're talking about is the securitization of commodities that might not have been available previous to this, like, round of financial innovation.
Ah, so it's really just bringing commodities up to what has happened for stocks, for companies, for the broader financial market then, hey? Offering some different opportunities of how to invest in these assets?
Exactly, making these accessible. So imagine, well, it's sort of like what's the popular gold. You have the you have gold futures contract these days. You also have gold ETFs, and out of those ETFs, you got some to say derivatives of like 2x gold or 3x gold, whatever they do. And I think that commodities now are, I think that's an evolution that we're moving. We're not there today or tomorrow, even though there might be some individual cases of this, that the big move towards commodities is going to take a while to like digitize, if you will, securitize commodities to make them available and increase the accessibility to them. So they're like, build it and they will come.
So, Mark, you're a currency guy, and when we talk about commodities, especially a commodity super cycle, we do typically see different types of currencies, more of the commodity country currencies, run higher. But you can look at different currencies, and I've heard a lot of arguments that kind of muddy that water. As a currency guy, how do you see a commodity super cycle playing out in the currency markets?
Yeah, that's interesting, huh? Because, you know, you have this, you've got this rally going on in real commodities. You say, well, what paper asset can I buy that also benefits from it? And I think that, I think that it's two ways. One is, if you remember thinking that it's like a bit of a fad. And so there's many things that are going to affect currencies. And this, as people are talking about commodity super cycle, and you got a rising CRB index, I'd say the Australian dollar has been quite interesting. It's been a lot stronger than people had thought. I'd say that in this past week, it is up alone about 1%, while the other dollar block currencies like the Canadian dollar and the Kiwi are up about half as much. The other element there is a Norwegian krone, which has typically also done well, not just rising oil prices, but as a proxy for rising commodities in general. But I think that the key would be that there's a lot of other things that influence currencies, but in the current mode, the current fashion, I think that the Aussie and Norway look pretty interesting.
Interesting. All right, Mark, we're going to wrap it up here. Good comments and very interesting discussion. I'm sure we'll be talking about it as we move through this year, but if we are at the start of a commodity super cycle, look out. This can last a long time, and they can benefit a lot of investments in commodities broadly. Mark, again, thank you for your time this weekend. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm going to switch focus a little bit to the battery metals or electric vehicle metal plays that have garnered a lot of attention recently. And I know there are a lot of investors that want to try to take advantage of this uptrend. But quite frankly, when you break down some of the metals that are involved with this EV play, like nickel, copper, and lithium, they're a little bit less understood than some of the other, let's call them more mainstream metals, like gold, silver. Copper's tied in there, but again, nickel, lithium, this is new to a lot of investors. I am chatting with Steve Todorook. He's an investment executive and geologist over at Sprott Global Resource Investments. Now, again, just to clarify, because I do bring Steve on about every 3 weeks, is that we cannot discuss individual companies due to regulations, due to regulatory issues, but you can, Steve has offered to help you analyze any companies that you have in your portfolio, ones that you are interested in, by emailing him. I will post his email address in the weekend show posting. If you can't find that email address, you can always email me directly, fleck@kereport.com. So, Steve, let's start off in a broad sense, a broad look at the EV plays here, nickel, copper, lithium. What are some of your just initial comments when you hear from some of your clients that they want to get exposure? What do you tell them?
Hi, Corey. Thanks for having me. Part of the problem is that in the nickel space, you know, say specifically, is there's not a lot of significant nickel deposits out there. That transcends down into the junior mining space where, you know, with a lack of exploration in that sector, we haven't had a lot of significant discoveries in recent history. So juniors tend to go out and you know, grab, you know, acquire, get a hold of old properties. You might call them retreads. They've been worked and drilled in the past in previous decades, going back a long time, and they weren't good enough to be mined at that time, so they sat on the shelf, and now all of a sudden nickel's hot, you know, copper and lithium, battery metal plays are, you know, a hot space to be in, and we're seeing a lot of these projects, you know, being reworked again. So it's kind of like, you know, I always take the stance there, buyer beware. If it didn't make it before, why is it going to make it this time? So just, you know, buyer beware, know what you're getting into.
Steve, what about when you're looking broadly, different jurisdictions or different assets, what does, in your eyes, make an attractive investment in these sectors, considering how new or how newly on the radar they are for investors?
As usual, I like to see grade. I want to see, good attributes to a project. The infrastructure is good. Country risk is, reasonable, hopefully really good. The types of nickel mineralization, if we're looking at nickel, is it nickel sulfide, which is the preferred end product that you want to end up with for the most part. Fortunately, we've got, no nickel deposits are mined. We've got a number of places in Canada, Thompson, Manitoba, Voisey Bay, around Sudbury in Ontario. So that's good if companies are exploring there. Down in Minnesota, the eastern U.S., you've got some. And Australia is quite well known for their nickel deposits. So that's the good news, is that, at least if a junior is going to be, working a project, chances are pretty good it's going to be in a good country. So I like that.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, in terms of advancing projects, we all know mining does take a while. But what, in your eyes, is broad time frames for these type of projects? These are typically larger projects, so in my eyes, they do take longer to bring online. What do you look for in terms of developments and certain stages of projects?
Well, Dean, I've got, as we've talked on previous shows, I've got a pretty specific and exact niche. I like the new discoveries, so I want to see juniors out there that are, doing basic exploration, starting with soil sampling, prospecting, geophysics, and then, identifying targets and anomalies, and then they bring in the drill, and I'm hoping for that discovery drill hole. So we are getting some of that. I'd probably say we're seeing a lot more of that raw early stage exploration happening in Western Australia specifically. And we've got, maybe up to 5 nickel discoveries. Also Brazil, there's a nice junior that's got a pretty good looking nickel project down there. It's another country that's okay. I'm not a big fan of mining in Brazil, but it's certainly not the worst country out there. A lot of the Canadian and eastern U.S. properties, like I referred to a few minutes ago, they've been around a long time and they've been worked, and they're all, they're all cashed up. The market's happy to finance them, and that's good. But I'm hoping that on one of those properties that have been worked before with fresh new drilling, that we'll find something, brand new, bigger, and good grade than what's been known there previously.
So as I mentioned on the onset, copper is a bit better known than these other metals, especially in terms of just the number of companies that are in the sector. Copper definitely has more companies than lithium companies, than nickel companies. However, recently, I think all three of the sectors have experienced a bit of a surge in terms of new companies. How important is it to understand the geology, though, of nickel assets and lithium assets in terms of end products? Because from my understanding, and I'm not overly well-versed in either of those sectors, but it's a lot different production scenario and a lot different geology than what you're looking at in simply, say, a gold or a copper mine.
Yeah, well, just do one comment there in regards to copper. Copper is extremely common used metal. We need copper every day we get up for all facets of life, starting with infrastructure building. You don't need nickel and lithium, nearly as much as those. We've got the big electric vehicle push, so that may, light a fire, or if we could just see prolonged, steady nickel prices, I'd be happy. Nickel tends to be, quite volatile, somewhat like zinc. Both those metals are very fickle, if you want.
So then in terms of different minerals or different makeups of minerals, when it comes to nickel and lithium, what do you see? What do you pay attention to?
Again, I'm definitely not an expert on lithium. What I sense, or the little I know there, is at the end product, like, there's different ways to process it. And some processes are more challenging. They're going to need a lot of metallurgy, which usually involves or means more expensive to produce that end product. You've got to, in this kind of a bull market in those sectors, the investor ideally knows what the end product's going to be and how the company's, you know, going to get to that end goal. And the companies are still trying to figure that out. So how's an investor supposed to figure it out? Yeah, I guess what I'd say to keep it simple, and I've got clients obviously phoning me up lately saying, what about lithium exposures? Even I say, I'm not an expert. Why don't we just keep it simple so we can both sleep good at night? Just buy the big lithium miners. You know, they're experts. They know what they're doing type of thing. Rather than bringing the risk of, you know, trying to shift through the juniors to figure out which of the juniors have good projects, just keep it simple and go for the big miners.
Yeah, absolutely. Protects you on that downside risk, but can still offer you that torque to the underlying commodity price there. Now, Steve, as I mentioned, there are a lot of new companies that have come into this sector. Everyone always talks about management. You need to pay attention to who the management is. Unfortunately, when we do see these sort of smaller sectors run, we see a lot of management teams that don't really care what metal they're in. They're just following the trend. What do you look for in a management team in these sectors that are a bit newer?
I try to make sure that the manager of the company isn't a group that's known to do exactly what you just said. They're chasing the flavor of the month on the hopes of, you know, raising money in a bull market and, you know, nice job stability type of thing. But as an investor, that doesn't excite me at all. So try and avoid that if you can.
Absolutely. Hey, Steve, it's great having you on the show. Thank you very much for your insights in these flavor of the month type sectors. But in all fairness, these sectors that do look like they have some longevity to them because of this move towards electrification and greener energy initiatives around the world that is picking up steam. Again, if you have any questions on individual stocks, you can email Steve directly. That email will be in the weekend show posting, or send me the email fleck@kereport.com and I will forward that on to Steve. Everybody, please keep the emails coming. I love hearing from you all week, and be sure to check back throughout the week and even recap a lot of those company interviews and sector specific interviews that I conduct every day throughout the week. Everyone, Steve, you too, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you all for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Corey.
Our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.